This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Much of the U.S. Midwest will be warm and dry this week, allowing for rapid planting progress, rapid germination, and good seed emergence. World Weather Incorporated says highs will be in the mid-80s this week and in the 70s and lower 80s next week. Timely rains are expected next week, with overall conditions good for field conditions over the next 2 weeks.
World Weather Incorporated says rains may be frequent enough to cause some planting delays in the northern plains. However, the greatest rains will be in the western areas. Daily scattered thunderstorms are possible for the next 2 weeks, with temperatures pushing into the upper 80s and lower 90s at times.
Soybean market has been correcting lower over the past few weeks. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoop says there is some technical support under this market.
Strength in soybeans, I think, kind of comes from a technical nature. We have long-term support for the July around 1331, and we did dip below that in the overnight, but it seems like during the day session that buying interest has come in against that support area, and I think that's going to be kind of a continuing theme in here is technical support will be probed and kind of bought, but without very fundamental support or strength, we're just not going to go anywhere too far too fast, I don't think.
Hoops sees the sideways to lower trade continuing.
But I think that's the direction we're going to take at this point in time is we're going to be under some pressure because of the fundamentals, because of the technicals. So we're just going to work our way lower. And I can see this happening all the way through like Memorial Day until we get into June and look at the weather forecast going into at least early to mid-June. Temperatures normally warm up, so we're going to have more than just hot temperatures. We're going to have real stretch of hot, dry weather that'll turn things around.
Standard Grain President Joe Vaklovic has not seen much concern about dryness across the central Corn Belt.
There is a forecast for the a lot of the Corn Belt, your Illinois, Iowa, Indiana. It's going to be dry here for 10 days or so. And even in the extended forecast, I'm not seeing a whole lot. I don't know if it's too early for the market to trade that or not, but looking at the way row crops are acting versus wheat, that's at least on my mind, I guess.
Vaklovic says wheat market is struggling.
There's a story that's made the rounds here that I was just reading about on the wires that they're importing some wheat from the European Union supposedly to the U.S., because it's cheaper to do that than it is to buy it domestically, which just speaks to how overpriced U.S. wheat is, despite all the crop problems. So that's been the general trend in wheat. We know we've got crop problems. We know Kansas is a disaster. We saw the tour last week. But guess what? We're still too expensive.
Large global supplies and less expensive European Union wheat is keeping a lid on U.S. wheat prices. Lowen & Associates President Pete Lowen says the wheat market is hard to pick apart.
Because, and of course, I'm sitting here with backyarditis right in the middle of hard red winter wheat country, and it is an absolute disaster of a crop. Obvious confirmation of that last week, but we've got to remember this is a world market, and you look at the big picture wheat, and this hard red winter wheat problem is a small aspect of a really big picture that really isn't very friendly when you look at the rest of the world.
Lowen thinks basis may make up some of the loss.
We've already seen it with the inverse in wheat, the fact that basis has started to improve, the huge spread between KC being premium to Chicago and also premium to Minneapolis, which is an odd deal. But anyway, interesting wheat market situation is playing out in spreads and basis, not so much in futures.
South Dakota State University Extension agronomist John Kleinjohn says the central and southern parts of South Dakota are on the tail end of planting.
Well, I would say it varies a little bit as you go from south to north. The south was dry early in the season, so a lot of planting was done earlier. Here I'm kind of in the east central part of the state, and we've had pretty good planting conditions overall. I would say this week row crops will be wrapped up. If not, in many places they're probably wrapped up already. And we had a nice rain about 10 days ago, so I think things are off to a fairly good start. As you get up north, Aberdeen, Millbank area, and a little further north, they've been fairly wet, so I think they're probably just kind of hitting their stride right now. It's hard to say, but I'd say they might have another 10 days. They had a planting a week to 10 days.
Klein John says the winter wheat acres just didn't grow.
But I know there's been a fair amount of abandonment of winter wheat just because we had such a dry fall. A lot of it didn't grow last fall. There was concerns about vernalization and then, frankly, just concerns about low yield potential due to the lack of fall growth. So I don't really know how many acres have been abandoned yet. I think since my tenure here, there's probably going to be more winter wheat acres abandoned than I've ever seen.
South Dakota Corn Utilization Council President Chad Blindauer farms near Mitchell, South Dakota, and just wrapped up planting for the year.
Well, we finished up a couple days ago, and things went relatively smooth. It was pretty slow start, you know, kind of waiting on the exceptionally cold weather, waiting for soil temps to come up. And so it was a pretty slow start, but with the dry conditions, once we got rolling, it went pretty smoothly. We usually have winter wheat in our rotation, but this past year, last fall was so dry that the winter wheat didn't work out. It's just corn and beans this year.
Blindauer has seen good emergence so far from the crops he planted in April.
I want to say we started around the 28th of April, I want to say. And then, like I said, finished a couple of days ago. Especially these last few days with this warmer weather, and we're fortunate enough last weekend to get an inch and a half of rain. So combined with this warmer weather, it's really coming up quick, and actually looks pretty good for the most part.
A tentative agreement between union workers and the West Coast ports may be at hand. The head of the ports of Los Angeles says both sides have spent a lot of time at the negotiating table, and he is optimistic about a deal. The most recent contract expired in July of last year. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Cattle numbers continued to decline across the country. USDA livestock analyst Justin Chos has the numbers.
USDA's Cattle on Feed report has estimated 4% fewer cattle were placed on U.S. feedlots with a capacity of 1,000 head or more than the same month in 2022. Feedlots marketed 10% fewer cattle during April, in part a function of one less slaughter day during the month. When adjusted for the difference in slaughter days, marketings were about 6% fewer than a year ago. And last, the number of cattle on feed on May 1st was estimated at 11.6 million head, which is about 3% below the previous year.
Cho expects number rebuild to take time, which should hold strength in the market.
Even though prices are high and with projected lower feed prices, which increase the economic incentive for producers to turn the ship around, the biological lag in cattle will probably delay any note of turnaround until next year.
And according to the USDA, there will be significantly less beef available in 2024 than in 2023. Per capita supply of beef in 2000 was around 68 pounds per person. This year, that supply is expected to be 57 pounds, down 16%. USDA thinks by 2024 that domestic supply will drop another 7.4%.
NDSU Extension is reminding beef cattle producers the Food and Drug Administration is changing its guidance for using implants in beef cattle after June 31st. The new guidance redefines beef cattle production phases, which will affect the label of claims of existing and new drugs. For more information, contact your veterinarian or NDSU Extension.
Milk production in the 24 major dairy states during April totaled 18.4 billion pounds. That's a 0.5% more than last year. Production per cow totaled just over 2,050 pounds, 2 pounds more than a year ago. The number of milk cows on farms in the 24 major dairy states totaled 8.9 million head. That's 36,000 more than a year ago.
Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has responded to a lawsuit filed by Minnesota Soybean Growers Association and the Minnesota Service Station and Convenience Store Association for its adoption of the California Clean Cars Rule. MSGA President Bob Wirth says they plan to move forward with the case.
Minnesota Pollution Control Agency sent the response back. They had 60 days to do so, and their response was that we should just drop the lawsuit and move on. Well, we're not going to. Our response back to them, which has to be done in another 60 days, is no, we're not dropping it, and we're moving forward as planned, and I have all the confidence that we're going to win this one.
Worth says the adoption of this California fuels standards violates federal rules.
I think people are going to realize they maybe did some things wrong, and they're not following the rules of the RFS. I mean, that's really obvious. They're just not following the federal rules. You know, state cannot just skip the federal rules. I mean, when they're there, you got to follow them. So that's the thing that I think we're going to win well on.
After hearing from stakeholders, USDA's NRCS Deputy Chief for Programs, Karen Woodrich, says their agency is working on making improvements to the regional conservation partnership programs.
Locally, through our local state technical committees and stakeholder input, we're able to identify priorities, again, across those landscapes to be able to enter into some innovative agreements and offer some additional flexibilities through the RCPP program that you wouldn't maybe necessarily get through our regular covered farm bill programs.
The easement process will also see some improvements.
Also working on really streamlining the whole easement process. We've heard from folks that it just takes too long to close an easement, so we're working on efforts to really improve and reduce the length of time it takes us to get through that easement process.
Applications for these programs are open and will be accepted through August 18th. Don't forget, you can find out more about Red River Farm Network radio affiliates, listen to this broadcast, podcasts, and more on your phone. Bookmark rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Planting is in full swing across the Midwest. University of Minnesota Extension Nutrient Management Specialist Fabian Fernandez says farmers need to prioritize getting crops in the ground before nitrogen application.
Planting, you know, it's getting a little bit late because of some of the wet conditions and cool conditions that we had earlier in the spring. So when you look at all the tasks ahead and what to prioritize, I would say prioritize planting now so that those crops can emerge and start photosynthesizing and using radiation, the sun, as much as possible, and then apply nitrogen afterwards. Typically, the corn plants don't really need that much nitrogen early on in the season, and typically there is enough nitrogen in the soil to provide what the plant needs to get going.
And Fernandez says urea has become a major nitrogen source across the Midwest.
The important thing to keep in mind with urea is that it does need to be incorporated into the soil. And, of course, if you are planting and then applying urea, it creates the challenge of, well, how do I incorporate that? And so there are not many good alternatives there. And so the best thing to do is to apply ahead of a rainstorm. You need about a quarter inch or a half inch of water to move urea deep enough into the soil profile to avoid nitrogen loss.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis wheat July is 6 3/4 higher at 810 3/4. September contract 7 higher at 814. July wheat Chicago 0.75 higher at 605 3/4. July wheat Kansas City 2.5 higher at 826.5. Corn July contract 16 higher at 570.5. December up 7 3/4 at 507 3/4. Soybeans July 35 higher at 1342 1/4. 22 higher on November contracts at 1197 3/4. Live cattle June down 47 cents today at 165.25. Feeder cattle down 35 cents higher at 206. Lean hogs down $1.22. This is the Red River Farm Network.